The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot.
Yeah! From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, January 23rd, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Are you fired up? Are you ready to go? I know I am today. We got a very special show for you today. As always on Wednesdays, we are joined by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, one of America's leading researchers on marijuana and its users. And he'll be joining us at half past, taking your live calls at 971-533-7111 or any of your cannabis science, history, culture, or health questions live in our chat room. You can just get into our chat room by typing /login and creating yourself an account on Ustream, and you'll be in the chat room with everyone else here in the cannabis community. Also on today's show, we are going to go behind the headlines and take a look, kind of an instructional look, if you will, at how to get statistics on marijuana and the drug war right from the federal government's own databases. You know, a lot of times when we're making these arguments, they like to question our bona fides and say, oh, you're just getting that stuff from pro-marijuana organizations. Well, we'll get it from that pro-marijuana organization known as the United States government. So check that out at Behind the Headlines. In our radical rant today, if you've been following my Twitter feed, you already know what I'm going to rant about today. My one non-pot smoking friend, Kevin Sabet, has actually responded to my creation of Project Samuel, Smart Approaches to Marijuana Use Except Legalization, and the how I got smartapproaches.com, Smart Approaches on Twitter, and Smart Approaches on Facebook. And he asks me not to demonize him, but to engage him in a civil debate. Okay. You want engagement, Kevin? I got some engagement for you coming up at 45 past the hour. Make sure you stay tuned for that one. But first, we've got to do our 420 radio news. And coming up in the headlines today, lawmakers in Hawaii want to legalize marijuana. Lawmakers in South Dakota are considering a medical necessity defense. Grand Rapids, Michigan is moving forward with decriminalization. Costa Rica, Mexico, and Colombia are talking to the U.S. about marijuana legalization. But the DEA still contends that if we legalize marijuana, more people might smoke it. Oh, no. We'll discuss the fallout from that and more coming up on today's Russ Belleville Show. Thanks for being here. And go to 420radio.org and become a VIP member today. Just click on Join Us and help support listener-supported public cannabis radio.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420-friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah. California is the center of marijuana consciousness. That's why High Times Magazine is returning to the Golden State for our second High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Los Angeles. That's right. Come to LA Center Studios on February 16th and 17th for this high-flying event. Meet the medical cannabis industry, visit our extra special medicating area, and sample the best cannabis products of Southern California. There'll be cultivation seminars and presentations about getting pot legalized, not just in California, but everywhere. Be there on Saturday evening when we host a Rock'em Sock'em concert with surprise musical guests. And don't forget Sunday night and the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup Awards when we honor the best sativa, best indica, best hybrid, best concentrate, and best edibles of the LA medical cannabis scene. Plus, we present the High Times Lifetime Achievement Award to marijuana superstar Tommy Chong. Come to the City of the Angels on February 16th and 17th for a High Times cannabis celebration. Go to MedCanCup.com for details. Live the high life. Be proud of who you are. Be part of the growing cannabis community. The March issue of High Times Magazine is here, just in time for playoff season in the National Football League. But did you know that NFL players who use pot receive the toughest penalties in sport? In our March 2013 issue, High Times investigates the NFL's wrong-headed policies and examines how pot can help athletes off the field. We also tee up an outstanding profile of one of the world's greatest strains with the haze craze. Senior cultivation editor Danny Danko weighs in on the origins of this outstanding sativa. And editorial director Dan Skye takes a high-minded look at the outdoor harvest of 2012. Growers are getting higher prices for the product and strains are better than ever. Plus, we'll take you inside of one of the most unique gardens you'll ever see, a state-of-the-art underground bunker that allows growers to create the perfect environment for pot. Also in this issue, Saturday Night Live's Jason Sudeikis drops by to talk about his new film, Movie 43. And guess what? Jason likes pot. Plus, we cover the most important story of the year. Pot is legal in Colorado and Washington. Pick up the March issue of High Times Magazine for the very best marijuana coverage on the planet. Be part of the growing cannabis community. On newsstands now.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, January 23rd, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Hawaii lawmakers want to legalize marijuana, from Hawaii News Now. Several key Hawaii lawmakers want to legalize marijuana in the Aloha State. House Speaker Joseph Sauki and House Majority Leader Scott Saiki, both Democrats, introduced a bill to legalize the possession of up to an ounce of marijuana by people aged 21 or older. Nine lawmakers co-sponsored a similar bill in the state Senate. The senators say that legalizing the drug will decrease crime rates and help Hawaii's economy. They say that legalizing the substance is, quote, natural, logical, and reasonable, end quote, given current scientific research and public opinion. South Dakota lawmakers consider marijuana bill, from the RapidCityJournal.com. Two lawmakers, including a former Rapid City police chief, are seeking support for a bill that would allow anyone arrested with 2 ounces or less of marijuana to use a medical necessity defense in the courts. Senators Craig Teason, Republican of Rapid City, and Representative Dan Kaiser, Republican of Aberdeen, were looking Tuesday to line up supporters for the legislation, which they hope to introduce today. Teason said the intent of the legislation isn't to legalize marijuana or to allow storefront pharmacies. Quote, all they can do is defend themselves in court. They can bring their experts, they can show their disease or illness, and let the judge and jury decide, end quote, he said. The marijuana would still be confiscated at the time of arrest, and the person in possession would still be booked on criminal charges. Order against marijuana amendment lifted, from WZZM13.com. A judge won't stop a new Grand Rapids, Michigan law that makes small amounts of marijuana possession a civil infraction instead of a misdemeanor crime. Kent County Judge Paul Sullivan declined to order an injunction Wednesday, but he cautioned that a challenge to the law still remains pending. Grand Rapids residents in November voted to make possession of small amounts of marijuana a civil infraction. City officials say anyone caught with more than 2.5 ounces will be referred to prosecutors. County Prosecutor Bill Forsyth is challenging the amendment to the Grand Rapids City Charter, saying it would prohibit police from enforcing state laws regarding illegal marijuana possession. Laura Chinchilla, president of Costa Rica, in marijuana talks with Mexico and Colombia, preparing for U.S. pot legalization. This from HuffingtonPost.com. Costa Rica, Mexico, and Colombia have opened talks with U.S. officials to prepare for the legalization of marijuana in some U.S. states, Costa Rican President Laura Chinchilla said Wednesday. The dialogue between the nations involves, quote, what is going to happen with legalization in some of the states in the U.S. and the impact it can have, end quote, on the battle involving international drug cartels, Chinchilla said in an Associated Press interview. The drug cartels that have become entrenched in Mexico, quote, pose a very important menace to our country, end quote, Chinchilla said. U.S. cooperation with Costa Rican authorities is needed because it is a huge consumer. Marijuana legalization would promote drug use, according to the Drug Employment Administration. Recent state efforts to legalize marijuana pose a challenge for the Drug Enforcement Administration because they would increase marijuana's availability and promote drug use, the DEA said in a filing released Wednesday. Quote, recently, efforts to legalize marijuana have increased. Keeping marijuana illegal reduces its availability and lessens willingness to use it, end quote, the DEA said in a financial statement for fiscal year 2012 made public on Wednesday. Quote, legalizing marijuana would increase accessibility and encourage promotion and acceptance of drug use, end quote. The DEA eradicated over 10.3 million marijuana plants in fiscal year 2009 and 10.3 million in fiscal year 2010, according to DEA data. That number has risen nearly every year since fiscal year 2004, when the DEA eradicated just over 3.2 million plants. According to DEA records, eradication of plants up until 2006 were 96 to 98% classified as ditchweed. The DEA no longer keeps data on what kind of potency of marijuana it has eradicated. That's your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, January 23rd, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we're going behind the headlines and taking a look at extracting marijuana data from government health databases. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At tgagenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at tgagenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Welcome back, everybody. 14 after the hour, time for us to go behind the headlines. And today, as I was involved in my little Twitter war with Kevin Sabet and doing some of the research for Project Samuel, I encounter all sorts of mythology from the people who oppose legalizing marijuana like alcohol. And in debunking some of this stuff, I refer to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Data Archive, also known as SAMHDA, which is a part of the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration of the federal government. Now, this is a website that's open to the public, and it contains a plethora of data that the federal government has collected on drugs, drug users, and drug use. So in our chat room here, I'm going to paste the link for this website that we'll be using today. It's housed at the University of Michigan. That's why it's got the EDU address on it. And one of the things that I point out is that when Project Sam and Kevin Sabet and these drug warriors always talk about needing to get rehab for the people that are smoking pot, in some cases, apparently, that we're talking about a whole lot of people. There's 103.5 million adults aged 18 and older who have tried marijuana in their lifetime. There are 26.1 million adults aged 18 and older who have smoked pot this year, 16.1 million adults who have smoked pot this month, and 2.8 million adults who smoke pot every day, like me and Brian here. And some of you, maybe. And all of this is verifiable through the federal government's own databases. So I wanted to take a moment here and give you a look at the federal government's SAMHSA database. Let me get the web screen here. And for those listening on the show, I'll describe in great detail what's going on here. But once we log on to the Substance Abuse Mental Health Data Archive page, we get the SAMHSA or the SAMHSA website here. And I'll zoom in a little bit so you can read a little better. But it has a series of items that you can select from the list here. The Drug Abuse Warning Network, or DAWN. That's when hospitals report in how many people came in with drug overdoses and so forth. Health Behavior in School-Aged Children. Survey of Treatment, Substance Abuse Treatment. But the one we're looking for is this one called the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, NSDUH. When you open up the dropdown for the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, you will find surveys going all the way back to 1979 on people's use of drugs from age 12 on up. And up at the top, they've just added three new sets of data, the NSDUH 2-year, 4-year, and 8-year comparison sets from 2002 to 2011. So we can actually track the difference, whether drug use has gone up or gone down using those sets. But we're going to start with the National Survey on Drug Use and Health from 2011. When you make that selection, it's going to ask you to set up some credentials. It's got a term of use page and so forth. You agree to the terms of use, and you are there, then put to the place where you can set up your data tables. Now, the way this works is on the left-hand side of the screen, you're going to see a set of books. And each one of these books is a category of different items that you might want to look up. For example, let's look up core substance use. When you click the little plus for core substance use, you can see all these different substances, tobacco, alcohol, marijuana, cocaine, and so forth. If we open up marijuana, we can see whether or not MJ ever. Have you ever used marijuana or hashish? So if we take MJ ever, it will, and click it, it will appear up in the selected area, and then you can copy that to the row of your table. And you only need to have at least just one item. And in this case, we're just going to go with MJ ever. Have you ever smoked pot? And there's all sorts of other options, but don't worry about them right now. You can just go right to the bottom and choose run the table, and you will get your answer. And the answer here shows you, for MJ ever, 107.9 million people. And there's a decimal there, because these are all estimates. They're based on statistical modeling. But you can estimate that there's 107.9 million people who have used marijuana in their lifetime. And that represents 42% of the people. But there's a little bit of a problem with this data, in my opinion, and that is, this is all people, age 12 and over. I just want to know how many adults are using marijuana. Now, when you look through all of these variables, there's all sorts of other variables you can find. For example, the demographics. And in those, we can find things like age, and they will have different categories of age. When I pick this age variable, I'm going to put that into the column section. So this way I'm going to get a table with have you ever smoked pot versus how old you are, age 2. If I go down and then run that table, I am now going to have along the top responded as 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 18, 20, and so forth. And along the side, yes or no, have we ever used pot? Let's flip those around so we get a more of a column set up here. We'll just put age 2 up here in the row section, and we'll put MJ ever down here in the column section. Just flip them around. And now that's a lot easier to read. So people 12 years old, 0.1% of people 12 years old have ever smoked pot. 0.2% of people 13, 0.4% of people 14, 0.8% of 15-year-olds, 1.2% of 16-year-olds, 1.4% of 17-year-olds. So it never gets above 1.5% of the people under the age of 18 ever using marijuana. If you'd like to learn more about this kind of stuff, I'm going to be doing these kind of master classes for our VIPs, and they'll be available for on-demand download, so check them out.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
What?
Where did this come from?
It's not mine,
Dad. Your mother found this in your closet. Where did it come from?
It's not mine, Dad.
Who taught you how to do this?
You, all right? I wonder if I'm watching you.
Oh, no, no, no. Don't put this on me. This is crap. What are you smoking this for? This is dirt.
I'm sorry.
No, listen. You see this? This is AK-47. Afghan Kush. From Afghanistan. Smell it.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah, look at the trichomes in there. Stop smoking crap. Marijuana may grow in the ground, but I assure you the money does not.
Fun, fun, fun.
Mm. Don't let him down, Fox.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Just like that, baby. Don't stop. I like it. You like it, baby? Yeah. Feels good, right?
No. Big Daddy thinks.
Funky, roll a ring.
Don't let him down.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belleville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, folks, it's Wednesday means it's time for us to get Irie, and we turn things over to Brian the Red, who's made a change, well, kind of an improvement to how we're listing the reggae flashbacks that has to do with Daily Toker Tunes. So check this out.
So basically, you know, if you've been watching or listening to my show since I started, I made it a point to, you know, never really play the same track twice, you know, and I've pretty much stuck to that except for once. But I've decided that I know that not everybody is into reggae and they don't always listen to a whole show, but I've started to name the shows one of the titles of the tracks that I played during that show that really has more meaning, you know, to me, and that I want people to really pay attention and listen to. So this next track I played last week, and it was the title to last week's show, Encouragement. This is by President Brown, and it's just, dig the lyrics. I mean, it's got a message. That's what I...
Right now I say unity is strength, and sometimes your brother needs some encouragement. Wow! Each one help the other. Yeah, you know. Just a word of encouragement could make your little sister don't give up on life. Just a word of encouragement could make another brother don't commit suicide. A word of encouragement
Because a word of encouragement could make another brother don't commit suicide. Love is stronger than pride. If you see your brother fall, help to pick him up, no brother love if he my ball. He might just give up cause it's no easy at all. Right now this call is for all. Treading the road of life sometimes is not an easy task. Any rivers to cross, we go talk to the boss. Not mentally fit, so somehow we get lost. Man searching and looking for the opportunity to turn his dreams into reality. Some encouragement could have given him some strength. Don't you ever sit on one side and cast judgment. Come along and sing this song, it's just a word of encouragement. Could make your little sister don't give up on life. A word of encouragement. Could make your little brother don't commit suicide. Just a word of encouragement. Could make your little sister don't give up on life. Just a word of encouragement. Could make your little brother don't commit suicide. Love is stronger than pride. If you see your sister fall, help to pick her up, no bother laugh if she a ball. She might just give up cause it no easy at all. Well this call is for all. No man is an island, no man stand alone. Good words are sweeter than even honey gold. Healing to the flesh and is soothing to the bone. So when a man a try, never you put him down. If him direction wrong, give him correction. What you think about the plan, give your opinion. Cause a positive suggestion might just help that man. Come along and sing this song, it's just a word of encouragement. Could make your little sister don't give up on life. A word of encouragement. Could make another brother don't commit suicide. Just a word of encouragement. Could make your little sister don't give up on life. Just a word of encouragement. Could make another brother don't commit suicide. Love is stronger than pride. If you see your brother fall, help to pick him up, no brother love if he my ball. He might just give up cause it don't easy at all. Well then this call is for all. Treading the road of life sometimes is not an easy task. Any rivers to cross, we go talk to the boss. Not mentally fit, so somehow we get lost. Man searching and looking for the opportunity to turn his dreams into reality. Some encouragement could have given him some strength. So don't you ever sit on one side and cast judgment. Come along and sing this song, it's just a word of encouragement. Could make your little sister don't give up on life. A word of encouragement. Could make another brother don't commit suicide. A word of encouragement. Could make your little sister don't give up on life. Just a word of encouragement. Could make another brother don't commit suicide. Love is stronger than pride. If you see your brother fall.
What's good, doggy? I heard you looking for that fresh slice. Haha, J-Love.
Nah. What's this paper trail you handed me? Ain't you heard? J-Love's all paperless now. Credit or debit, fool.
J-Love!
Oh, yo, what's good, doggy? Looking for that green? Yo, I got you, man. I got the special. Check it. Yo, I got 223 bags for 53 bucks. Nah, man. You trying to pull a fast one on J-Love? On J-Love? That's 23 bucks. You know 23 bags gonna win you 25 bucks.
Yo, you got my money, little Bow Wow?
Yo, hold up. You didn't get my text about my price change? Man, 23 bags on you, 25.35, man. Fuck you looking at? I ain't got no change.
J-Love!
What up, Scooby? Looking for that sick perp? Check out my pinky ring. Yo, I'll give you a dub for $31. $24.87. Ace gonna run you about $123.34. $12.34.
4, 5, 6, 7,
McCoy's gonna run you $542.67.
2, 3, 4, 7, 22.45.
The dime's gonna cost
1, 2, 3, duck.
Jay! 11.33.
Love!
99! Ha! Jay Love!
Listen, Jay. Jay Love.
Sup, Snoopy? Where's Woodstock? Jay Love. Yo, let me get some of that finest, you know what I'm saying? I know you ain't running from that shit. Yo, we about to smoke a blunt. Jay Love.
There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times Magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. The chat room is already going woot, woot, and displaying major hearts for you, Dr. Mitch. They're glad to have you back.
Hey, glad to hear it. My 8-year-old is searching the SAMHSA website, so thanks very much.
Oh, you're welcome, man. Yeah, it's amazing what data that you can get out of there. I mean, I can tell you how many people claim to have smoked weed 80 times last year between the ages of 26 and 28 that are females that are unemployed. I mean, it's just amazing what's in there.
Well, you paid for it. You ought to be able to do it.
I guess so. And, you know, we're going to do more of that. We're going to give some education to folks, you know, because I know there's a lot of our listeners are kind of volunteer activists in their parts of the state. And when you go to these state hearings and these lawmakers, you know, spout BS, you've got the federal government's facts to back you up. So we'll do a whole lot more of that. Now, Dr. Mitch, for this segment, we always let you open up and let us know what's new in the world of cannabis science or studies or polls. So what's new?
There's a new study out of Brown University that's appearing in Drug and Alcohol Dependence later this month, and it's about working memory and impulsivity in marijuana-related problems. And I feel like these are nice researchers, but they're making some of the mistakes that we see a lot. So they ran a whole bunch of different tests on these folks, and the headline, of course, reads that they're marijuana-related problems. When you look real close, the most common marijuana-related problem is people say, marijuana made me procrastinate.
Okay.
So, you know, we're talking a serious problem here. And then there are two working memory measures, but really only one of them helps predict these problems. And the impulsivity predicts these marijuana-related problems. The problem is impulsivity predicts a whole lot of problems in life, and so we don't have any control problems that it also might have predicted. So I'm just really at a loss for how to interpret stuff like this. But this was NIDA-funded, and Drug and Alcohol Dependence is one of the best journals in the field, and so it kind of lets you know how we're sort of grasping at straws here, now trying to make it look like, ooh, marijuana, it's so evil, and it's just not showing up.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen this with the Project Sam people and some of the stuff. You know, one of my commenters remarked how far they're looking, how hard they are trying to find something bad to pin on marijuana, because now everybody wants to legalize it.
Exactly.
Now, we do have a question from our chat room coming up. And folks in the chat room, if you want to get your question in, just type a capital Q and a colon and a space, and then that'll put a big old Q, and I can pick them out real easy. Joshy Dude in our chat room wants to know, what do you think about the new, well, I don't know if it's new, but the trend now toward raw juicing of cannabis?
So I've heard from at least three people who just swear by it, say it's the greatest thing ever. I'm a big fan of juicing of you know, green veggies in general, and the data on that are not extensive, and unfortunately the data on this are non-existent, so I just don't have any science to point to about it. I'm curious if folks experience any subjective effects or any kind of high with it, and would love to hear from more folks who would be willing to email me about it, but I don't have any recommendations to make either way. The THC probably isn't very bioavailable, given that it's just raw plant leaves, and I'm apprehensive about recommending it just because it would be really expensive, and it might not be any better than, say, juicing spinach.
All right. Well, if you want to get your email into Dr. Mitch on your experiences with juicing raw cannabis, you can email 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. We have a lighthearted question coming in from a trickster who wants to know, Doctor, who was your first Doctor Who, and who is your favorite Doctor Who?
Alas, every time I watch Doctor Who, I'm usually at least 2 milliliters of tincture into the evening, and so I would be hard-pressed. There's an episode where these people have found the guideline to the air conditioning vents in their spaceship, and they think it's the Bible, and I really love that one a lot.
All right, there we go. We are a diverse crowd here, and we all like the Doctor Who. Okay, so let's see. Looking through my chat room, keeps jumping on me, so I have to get here. Whatever happened, and this is a question coming in from Mighty Mike, whatever happened to low THC strains? I want a little buzz, not a hammer to the skull.
As one of my favorite Portland connoisseurs of cannabis would say, can you count to one? So, in all honesty, these tend to be dose dependent, and so if you could just take a little baby hit of one of these strong ones, odds are high not only would you have the effects you're looking for, but your exposure to any potential lung irritants would be next to nothing.
So, in the words of former President George W. Bush, use less drugs. All right. We have a question from Cannabob, who wants to know, does cannabis smoking have a positive or negative effect on hypertension?
So it's curious because you do see blood pressure decreases in response to cannabis, but it's just not reliable enough to, say, become a medicine. So the duration of the effect isn't really long enough to replace blood pressure meds, and it's not consistent enough or predictable enough, at least given the variation in strains that we have, to become a new medical use. But I'm sure there are folks out there who are eager to investigate that.
Mm-hmm. Following up from our chat room, Wake Up Dead says, if you're looking for low THC strains, move to Ohio. Okay. I wanted to get a question in too, Dr. Mitch, in that, referring back to something we talked about last time, which is this Dunedin study, these researchers who claim heavy, consistent marijuana use in adolescence leads to an 8-point drop in IQ. Kevin Sabet and the Project Sam people jumped all over it. They put it all throughout all their press releases. Then Ole Rogerberg comes out and says, no, hold on, you didn't account for poor people. And then they've come back now and said, oh, yeah, but we looked at middle-class people, and the same thing happened. And the debate continues to rage on about this. I'm wondering if you have any new insights for us.
Well, the clincher on those simulations that suggest that low socioeconomic status is probably part of that effect are perfectly done. And, I mean, it's not that there are data gathered on that. This is done mathematically, and it's absolutely correct. There's no way to say that. The Dunedin folks are saying, look, everybody in our sample was pretty much the same class, middle class, and so we feel like this estimate of the IQ effect is accurate because there's no real variation in socioeconomic status. I find that a little bit of an overstatement. If you look at the way they measure socioeconomic status, it's just not very strong. And what really matters here is sort of educational opportunity more than socioeconomic status itself. And so I feel like cannabis is not for the developing brain. I'm absolutely behind that. I'm understanding that in a whole bunch of different ways, just in predicting problems and things like that. Nevertheless, this 8-point drop predicted and stated as if it's some kind of decree from the Lord is just really not fair, not a reasonable estimate.
Yeah, and one of the this is coming from Australian Broadcasting Company Science Department, I think it was, and there was one of the doctors that was responding to the response, And he said, well, yeah, but another thing that this could be showing us is that people who have a predilection for smoking weed also have a predilection for taking up jobs that have less brain activity, and therefore they don't exercise their brain, and then therefore they turn out lower on IQ tests. And I kind of add, well, yeah, maybe they're not choosing to take jobs that are dumb jobs. They are forced to because they're P-tested. But is there something to that?
Not only that, but also, see, the IQ tests later on really rely on acquired knowledge more than just your actual ability to solve problems in the abstract. And so if you happen to be high that day at school and you didn't absorb that information, then of course you score lower on the IQ test. And it's not that you're dumb, it's that you missed out on something. So it's really markedly more complicated than this just, hey, cannabis makes you stupid if you're a teen.
Is there any evidence to suggest that IQ tests are culturally biased in any way?
Well, see, this was my other big concern, and that sample has some Maori folks, some natives of the Australian area who, in all honesty, are really, we have no data to suggest the IQ test is the same for them as for other people. My dad gives a good example of this. He says, try to ask an Eskimo to define the word orange. Right?
Yeah.
It's just not the same test in that crew, and so it's hard to know how to really interpret those results. And the notion of factorial invariance and all these wild statistical things, the bottom line is it's just not measuring the same things, and these folks is kind of biased against them. And a friend of mine who came up with the African American IQ test, and it's got, who is Louis Armstrong and what does this mean and what does that mean, all these rap terms and stuff that I can't even remember. And I said, I'd get a zero on this myself. And in part because culture does contribute to the way these questions are formulated, and because some folks from the Maori culture may have been in the sample, we're clearly not measuring what we think we're measuring.
All right. Back to our chat room. We've got a question coming in from Uncle Viper. Wants to know about cannabis and tachycardia.
So cannabis definitely increases heart rate, and if you are sensitive to something like that, that can be an issue. I'm always saying how, cannabis has never caused a lethal death or anything like that. But as we're all getting older and getting more and more sensitive to increases in heart rate, that may be the thing that does it. However, I want to point out that caffeine does the same thing, and so does going up the stairs too fast and stuff like that. So it's not like this is a lethal drug.
All right. And we have a question from Fotiki, wants to ask, will hemp protein shake mix produce a positive on a P-test?
In theory, at least, the ones that have been approved for sale in the United States do not have a measurable amount of THC. They're less than 0.5% THC, so it should not do that. However, the testing of protein shake proteins is not exactly top priority at the Food and Drug Administration and the USDA and other testers. So it's possible there's going to be some variation on this. I wouldn't want to risk it.
Yeah. All right. Well, folks, that's about all the time we've got with Dr. Mitch here. If you didn't get a chance to get your question in or you're just shy, you can always send it in by email at 420research@gmail.com. And Dr. Mitch, just looking forward to the next few events that are coming up. I know they're doing the first Cannabis Cup in Denver for 420. Is that something you might head out toward, or do you have a 420 plan in mind?
I've been dropping hints to the missus about this, and it depends on how I do on the previous month on 319 for my daughter's bat mitzvah.
Okay. Well, we hope the best for the bat mitzvah, and we will hopefully see you in Denver, Colorado on 420. We'll be there with the High Times crew and everybody. So, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you in High Times Mag in the Ask Dr. Mitch column, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot.
All right, folks, when we come back, a little engagement with Kevin Savette.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically,
Imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not...
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush
to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no, it's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly if I said some silly thing.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, I had quite a day today getting up in the morning, and it started on Twitter like it usually does. Usually I get up in the morning and, how do you put it? I have my morning constitutional. And that seems to be sometimes the most appropriate time to check out what's going out in the Twitter sphere. When I saw this tweet come out from my one non-pot smoking friend, Kevin Sabet, the only friend of mine who wants to put me in a cage, by the way, Kevin Sabet, who tweeted out about this IQ study that Dr. Mitch and I were just discussing. The headline of his tweet was, "Original IQ study with cannabis valid after reanalysis," and it linked to an Australian broadcasting company science report. So I responded with the Project Samuel account that I've got on Twitter, which is at Smart Approaches. Now, I use this account and another account called at Not Kevin Sabet to take what Project Sam and Kevin Sabet say, and then I retweet it with a little bit of a change to it. For example, for this one about the IQ study, original IQ study with cannabis valid after reanalysis, I added, proving we must force rehab on adults by law, right? So I've been doing this for a while since I got the account put together in the smartapproaches.com website. I've been doing this for a while. And to date, Kevin Sabet had never responded to it. Well, today, my wishes came true, and he responded to Smart Approaches. And his response was this, at Smart Approaches, at Radical Russ, what you are doing is embarrassing for you. But you should know we do not want forced rehab or forced prehab. Aha, right. He continues in another tweet to say, we advocate for education and intervention as appropriate. We don't have all the answers. Don't have all the answers. Booked yourself as an advisor for three administrations, but you don't have all the answers. All right. Advocate for education and intervention as appropriate. And I've responded numerous times, and you can go check out my entire, you know, Twitter feed if you like, you know, because I just went nuts today on this thing, just going over and over and over. And in response to his as appropriate, I said, as appropriate as in police caught you with marijuana. His response to that was, no, that's not what I'm saying. And we registered many names, including what you have done, .org. Anyway, you're showing your true colors. Because I was kind of replying to him that the only person that was embarrassed was him twice by not registering the appropriate domain names for his projects and allowing, you know, us unmotivated, unintelligent stoners to get up on his domain name and spoof him and place higher in the Google rankings. But, you know, whatever. So in all of this, at the end, he says, you know, you're showing your true colors. Don't demonize me, sir. Engage. Don't demonize me. Engage. All right. So you want my engagement, huh? Okay, we can make that happen. Let's start by engaging this little fella. As you may guess, this little fella is me, circa 1968. Now, around circa 1968, when this little fella is sitting in his crib and learning what's going on in the world, this little fella's dad was addicted to methamphetamine pills and alcohol. And while this little guy was, being taken care of by a mom who was pretty much, on food stamps and welfare while he was out, sometimes weeks at a time when nobody knew where he was, this little guy was being raised by a single mom, a poor single mom on welfare and food stamps who some people advocate would have had to have passed some sort of drug test to get those food stamps. Here's that same little guy, circa, 2-3 years old. And then we get toward, more first grade and second grade and third grade. And all through these years when this little guy is growing up and is being determined by lots of different tests and people to be wildly intelligent and full of lots of potential, somebody for whom a little bit of, fatherly guidance could possibly have made a lot of differences. While that's going on, dad's hopped up on speed and alcohol and wrecking cars with DUIs and passing out drunk in places. It's about fifth grade, that same little boy, the really intelligent little boy, who seems to be getting a little sadder as life goes on. And then we get to about seventh grade. Now, about seventh grade is when the father of this little boy was perched on a late night after a wild night of drinking and using methamphetamine, was perched himself about 2:30, 3 in the morning on the Snake River Bridge that connects Oregon and Idaho, a bridge that this little boy now, as an adult, when he crosses it, becomes a criminal. That same bridge that he can't help but go over every time he goes to visit his now 71-year-old father. Anyway, this little boy, his father perched himself about 3 in the morning on the edge of the Snake River Bridge, waiting to jump off and kill himself because of his addictions, because of his addiction to alcohol and to methamphetamine. And nobody forced him into a rehab. Nobody ever considered forcing him into a rehab. But while he was on that bridge, he heard a voice to tell him that he believes is a divine inspiration, tell him to go get help. So he went and got rehab. And he went to the hospital and got detoxified and did a 30-day inpatient. And he then not only did well in that rehab, because, again, he'd been in rehab many times. He'd kind of been forced there, coerced there from a couple of DUIs, from wrecking a car and so on, and told everybody he'd go through it and do just fine. But, of course, drug addicts being what they are. And, of course, this, Kevin, because you research this stuff. You know what addiction's like. You know that people don't really change until they want to change. Anyway, that father, he got the 30-day inpatient treatment and the detoxification, and not only continues to be sober to this day from speed and alcohol, but also, after getting out of that rehab, enrolled himself back at Boise State University, and after not having a college degree and, failing at everything and being fired from multiple jobs, went back to college, became a Dean's List honor student and the president of the student social workers at Boise State University, and upon graduation became a drug and alcohol counselor. That's about when we get to eighth grade for this little boy and ninth grade for this little boy. I'm sorry, that's eighth grade, and the previous was seventh grade. And during that time, dad is going through treatment, and this kid is going to Alateen meetings and Al-Anon meetings his whole life. And hearing from dad, from all of his classes, all of the latest studies and all the latest information on addiction and the addicted brain and how addicts behave and what addiction is all about. Now, we get to about this photo when obviously haircuts were not a priority. And it's about ninth grade, 10th grade. This is about when I discover alcohol. Now, the alcohol thing, of course, dad being an alcoholic had trained me over and over and over and told me over and over and over that children of alcoholics tend to become alcoholics over and over and over and over again. But I did anyway, started drinking. And by age 16, about 15 or 16, junior in high school, I'm drinking Bartles and James wine coolers and getting drunk with my friends and puking. And I'm becoming kind of like the champion drinker of all of my friends until I get to my senior year. I enrolled in the National Guard, became a soldier in the National Guard. Graduated high school, 3.4 GPA with honors. I was the drum major of my high school marching band. I was I eventually became a sergeant. Now you don't get much more 80s than that, huh? So I'm graduating high school. My dad is graduating college. And after he graduates college, he goes on to have a career where he works for, I think it was a decade or so, in drug and alcohol rehab counseling at the detox center where he had gotten his drug and alcohol rehab counseling. So, Kevin, when you come at me with all of this concern about drugs and people that need rehabilitation, dude, I'm with you. Rehab saved my father's life. I'm with you on that. But I am not with you on treating adult marijuana smokers as if they need rehab merely for the fact that they're adult marijuana smokers. This is where we differ. And I feel strongly that your efforts to keep marijuana illegal and to force otherwise responsible, law-abiding, functional marijuana smoker into a rehab bed is filling a rehab bed that could have been the bed that saved my dad's life. Could have been the time or the place in a meeting that could help a current junkie, tweaker, alcoholic, or cokehead. Marijuana? You want to do all of this over marijuana, and you refuse to acknowledge that anything that you put forth in Project Sam does nothing to stop the arrests, the incarceration, imprisonment, probation, pee testing of people who have what you deem to be too much marijuana for a personal amount, or to be selling or growing any of it. Project Sam does nothing to stop that. It does nothing to end the murderous Mexican cartels, the tax-evading hippies, and the teenagers from controlling the adult marijuana market. It is just lipstick on the pig. It is just another gilded cage for marijuana consumers, and that's what offends me so much. Especially the implication that those of us in marijuana law reform who are seeking legalization somehow want to see kids token up, or somehow don't care about how our society turns out, or have no concern about addiction problems. When in fact, by our actions and our review of the science that has shown this over and over and over again, going back to the British 1898 East Indies study, going back to the LaGuardia study of 1842, going back to the Schaefer Commission report of 1972, going to the Institute of Medicine's report to 1999, every single damn government that has ever commissioned a study on what we ought to do about marijuana has said at least it should be decriminalized. At least people should not be going to jail or being coerced by their government for using marijuana. And now the general public is with us and begins to see the truth of this, and it's got you guys running scared. It's got the entire rehab industry shaking. You want to know why? Because without marijuana smokers as the grist for the rehab mill, a lot of you guys go out of business. I did a little searching on statistics for Colorado, since your buddy Dr. Christian Thurstone runs a rehab center there and makes a lot of money on these forced rehabs. Did you know, for 12 to 17-year-olds in the state of Colorado, five times as many are in rehab right now for marijuana as in rehab for alcohol. From the ages of 12 to 17, 96,000 people in rehab for marijuana, somewhere around 20,000 in rehab for alcohol between the ages of 12 to 17 in Colorado. Now, guess what? Twice as many kids in Colorado drink as use marijuana. So we are discriminating by a factor of 10 on teenagers, putting him in rehab for their use of marijuana over alcohol. And I don't have any kids, so maybe I don't have an opinion on this, but I think a teenager in need of alcohol rehab should be a higher priority than a teenager caught smoking pot. Don't you? We're going to keep going on this. We got a whole another hour to fill, and I can fill too. So thanks for joining us, everybody. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We take your calls at 971-533-7111. What do you think of Kevin Sabet's opinions? Love to hear from you. Maybe he's listening. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. and everybody here at Roller J Studios, which is Brian the Red and Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. Yeah. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. Yeah.